are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
You know, one of the things that we try to do, and one of the things I love about a Christmas Eve service, and I've been to lots of them over the years. I've been able to help program them over the years and gone with my family and sat when our kids were little, is that a service like this, here's what it's intended to do. It's intended to kind of, and kids, I'm going to use a big word for a second, which I think I know what it means, but it's intended to kind of calibrate us to the season. It's intended to kind of bring everything into alignment to remind us of what this is about. What this season is about. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I love having some time off of work, hanging out with my family, eating way too much ham and peanut M&Ms and all of that. Like, that's good, but that's not the reason that we do this. And we can get suckered into believing that, oh yeah, this is just one of those holidays, one of those things we do. And it's so much bigger. And so a service like today helps us kind of reframe and recenter around the purpose of this season, because it's going to be tricky because I'm opening gifts tomorrow for someone else's birthday. Like, think about that. Like, we're all opening gifts like, yeah, look what I got. Look what I got for someone else's birthday. And so it's important that we do moments like this, not just so we can get the goosebumps and not so we just so we can get the feels and the pictures and y'all look great, by the way. Not just so that we can do that, so that we can remember the whole point. I don't know what your year has been like. I have no idea. Some of you have had years that have been up and to the right and you're like, this is best year ever. Amazing, awesome, like life events and cool things happening and new opportunities and all that. And then some of you are entering into the season, like you are counting down to December 31st. You're like, you can't wait to flip the calendar on the year because it's been hard. And all of us are on that spectrum somewhere. We're either like at one end or the other or somewhere in the middle. And so I don't know where you're at on that, but today we're just going to spend just a few minutes in God's word and remind ourselves towards the end of the year that Jesus came. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus came and he'd entered into our world regardless of what your world looks like. We need to go back and remember that first original Christmas. We have the luxury now in our house. We have one of these. Watch here. Bam, right? Like a little remote candle. Like we got a bunch of these around our house and it's awesome. We pull these out this time of the year and set them up and create that nice warm ambiance. And then we just hit the remote and go to bed. We have the luxury of electric light, which is, thank you, Thomas Edison. I mean, it's only been in the last 100 years that we have this. Up until that point, people lived by the sun and the stars and the moon. That was it. Like, daylight savings time, they didn't get a complaint like, oh yeah, like it's, you know, it's daylight savings time is over. And, you know, now like they didn't have electric light. So they couldn't go in the house and play board games unless it was by the fire. And then, but that point, like you're getting up at 4 a.m. to do chores and milk cows and do all kinds of crazy stuff. So like that, like the idea what we get now when it comes to light is so different than the perspective that we get in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in God's word. Light was different then. And it's hard to understand. Actually, take just a second. Look at all the lights in this room. Just take a second and look around. Like you got lights up here, back there, all along the walls, up there. Think about what we get now. And we cannot comprehend the idea of dark. But back then, they could understand dark. And not only could they understand dark, like the physical darkness, there was a darkness on the earth that was different too. Like, yeah, we've got hard times and we've got, you know, political stuff and we've got stuff with our families and stuff with our kids and disease and all that. But even childbirth back then, somebody got pregnant, you're like, congratulations? Because childbirth often ended in one or both of them dying. Like, you talk about darkness, like a heaviness. That's the world that Jesus came into. There's a text we're going to start with. An Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, wrote this in Isaiah chapter 9. He says this, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress." Here's what was happening at that time, is there was a lot of distress and stress to the people that this prophet was speaking to. So there was political unrest, there was lots of things going on, all the stuff that I just mentioned, like it was rampant in that time. And Isaiah is trying to speak out and speak into all of this darkness. He's trying to speak hope. He goes on, he says, "In the past, he humbled the land," God humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Now, the names and the towns and the cities aren't important. This isn't a geography lesson today. But the point that Isaiah was making is that God is going to enter into a specific geography, we now know of Bethlehem, at a specific time and a specific place for a very specific reason. And Isaiah was speaking this out hundreds of years before Jesus was born. He says, the people, and this is where we're going today, the people were walking in darkness. And those people walking in darkness, one day they will see a great light. And that light will shine on those living in the land of deep darkness, and a light will dawn. Isaiah is proclaiming here that Jesus would be a light that breaks into the darkness. Now, that's easy for us because we go, oh yeah, I know when my house is dark, I just turn on a light. I just bump the remote and my living room lights up so I don't stumble through the living room. But for them, that would think of the concept. There will be a light shining in the darkness. They're like, you mean like the moon? Like, how does that, like, well, a light shining, like a star maybe, like a fire, like a bright fire? Because they had no concept of electricity at that point. And Isaiah is calling the shot. There's going to be this light that enters into the darkness. In the New Testament, John addresses it this way. The gospel writer John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John, one of Jesus' disciples, he refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved. It's not very humble, but he was like, yeah, we were buds. We were really tight. John writes this about Jesus in John chapter 1. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2 first. Not the disciple Jesus loved, somebody different. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read a passage that a lot of us are going to read tomorrow. Some of you may read this around the tree or by the fireplace with your kids. We do this right before we open our presents, and it's fun. Our kids now read it, and one year there was a fight over who got to read it, and I was like, Merry Christmas, y'all. That's awesome. You're fighting over who gets to read the Bible. Like, that's great. Luke chapter 2 says this. Luke gives us this account. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. Now, kids, this may not make much sense to you, but here's what was happening. There were new tax laws. That's what was happening, and it makes no sense to you. Your parents all get it. They're like, oh my gosh, right? Taxes were going up. That's what was going down in this story. That's the world. That's the setup for Jesus's birth. New tax laws. Joseph, being the good guy that he was, he went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and she was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. We heard the kids just read this. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Kids, you've been working on this in MP Kids, and I know you've been talking about, like, where did he live? Was it an inn? Was it a hotel? Probably stayed with maybe a relative or somebody they knew in town. It doesn't matter. There wasn't a place for him, and he had to kind of squeeze in. And here's the point. Jesus was going to find a way in. Nobody was stopping him. He couldn't be stopped. Verse 8 says, and there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the pictures that we get of this, stained glass windows and pictures that people paint throughout time and history, and artists have represented this, that these angels show up and they're surrounded by what? They're surrounded by light. There is light, and light at night would have either been fire or the sun or stars, but this is the first time these shepherds have ever seen light coming from something other than fire or the sun or stars, and it's at night, and no wonder they're freaked out. They'd never seen light like this before. It says, and they were afraid, but the angel appeared to them and said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. We now know what they did next is they trusted the angels and they said, we need to go find this Messiah. Here's the thing, darkness. I picture these shepherds out in their field and you're just hearing sheep, right? And all of a sudden these angels show up, bright light, freaking them out. You ever been in real darkness? And let's play with the metaphor here for just a second. I mean, yeah, just like the literal dark. But have you ever had that season where it's just dark? The bills keep coming, stuff keeps stacking up. You can't unbury yourself fast enough. Sounds quiet, doesn't it? Because when you think about that darkness and that place and you're laying in bed alone wondering how is this gonna work out, it's dark, it's lonely, it's still, it's almost haunting. And yet the light brings hope. The light brings life. The light steps in. And the darkness, it's loud. It's loud. And it's heavy. But the light starts to make it better. I want to move on. Let's go to John. I think I talked about him earlier. John writes this in John chapter 1. In the beginning... The very beginning, Genesis, go back to the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, John writes, and the Word was with God. The Word is referring to Jesus. It's like Jesus's nickname. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We actually read this just last Sunday, if you were here. So if you're like, does he know he read that last week? Yes, I do. Hang on, because we're gonna look at a different part of it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the very beginning. It feels like John's repeating himself, but he's trying to remind us that Jesus existed long before he was ever born. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him, Jesus, was life. And here's where I'm going. And that life was the light, John says. In that life, was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness. That's good news. That when we're scared, when we're laying there alone, quiet, still, freaking out, the light shows up and shines in the darkness. Verse 6 takes a little bit of a quick turn. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We later know him as John the Baptist. He came to witness and testify concerning the light because John was saying, there's a light coming, nobody. Don't follow me. Don't worship me. Follow that light because my light is not as bright as his light. You're going to want to follow him. So John came. He wasn't the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. To show up, to bring light to everyone. Well, not me, Scott, you don't know, like, if you, I don't know if you've heard what I did, or, you know, like, the case hasn't even gone to trial yet. I don't know if you know, I don't know if you've read, I don't know what you, you know, you haven't read my email, and you haven't seen what my wife and I are going through. You don't, yeah, well, sorry. Yeah, he came for you too. Everyone. The light came into the world for everyone. I think the fear, and the trick is, the fear when we talk about light and the light coming into the world, I think a lot of us see Jesus and God as a light. Go, Andrew, go ahead and hit the lights for me. That we see God as a light that comes into the world to shine a light on us, to like expose us. Let me see if I can do this. Yeah, to expose, I'm gonna shine the light in your eyes for just a second, so hang on. We think that he came just to like interrogate and to spotlight us and say, oh, you did that. I see what you did. And oh, you're in the balcony too. Yep, gotcha. Yes, I can see you, right? We think that he came to put a spotlight on us and to point out what we've done wrong. That's not what the text tells us. It says that he came to bring light to the world, not to shine a light on the world, to expose it, but to be the light in the world. You can turn those up now. See, if you go back to those images that we see of Jesus in the manger, right? What do they always, a lot of times, what do they draw around the manger? What do you see coming from the manger? You see light coming out, right? He was the lamp that showed up, not as a spotlight to say, aha, caught you. He was the light that came to illuminate everyone so that we could see and we could experience peace and comfort and joy. I had the chance years ago, one of my jobs, I ran a church camp, and we did this thing one year where we had this fun idea. We were going to help the kids understand God's bigness and his grandness and how awesome he is and huge he is. So we did this whole worship set indoors, you know, and as every song, the room got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, if that's the right word, more dim. I don't know. I'm not good at grammar. Okay. So the lights, we took the lights down for every song in the worship set. And then what we did is we ended that time and we said, okay, guys, now here's what we're going to do. We're gonna leave this room, and everyone, leave your flashlights in the room. And we told them all to bring beach towels, and we said, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go out into this giant field that was surrounded by the woods. The kids all knew where this was. It was called the valley. We're all gonna go down into the valley, and we're gonna go out there. We're gonna lay on our beach towels. We told the kids you can't be any closer than like 20 feet from anyone. And we're gonna lay on our beach towels for 15 minutes in complete silence. And we want you to stare up into the sky, stare up into the stars. And over those 15 minutes, I don't know if you know this, like your pupils begin to like to dilate, like your eyes open up because they're trying to find light. And what happens over that 15 minutes is you can start to see the stars and the galaxies and all that. It's super cool, but there can be no light pollution. So we've made all the kids leave their flashlights in the lounge and the lobby. And so we said, and all of our adults, there's gonna be no light out there. So we have one person takes a flashlight down and leads all the kids down there. And they're all spread out. They get on their beach towels. And this was amazing. Watching all these middle school kids do this. It was so cool. They trusted us. And they're laying there. Like they're just sitting there. Complete silence under the stars in the middle of this field surrounded by the woods. It was incredible. And even us adults were out there. We're like, oh, this is amazing. So cool. And we start to see, you know, 5-10 minutes in, like you start to see the galaxies and the, you know, other stars that you didn't see when you first got there, and you see a shooting star every now and then. About 10 minutes in, like we hear one of the adults at the very end of the field, like he'd had a long week, totally fell asleep. He's snoring like a bear, right? And the kids are all like, hey, we walk over, kick him, wake him up, right? And so, but the kids, like they bought in at this point. And it was amazing and so peaceful. It was unbelievable how peaceful it was. 150 middle school kids, completely quiet, laying on these beach towels in this open field. And then I learned something. I learned a valuable lesson. Did you know that nocturnal animals hunt at night? I hadn't thought through this. Because about 10 minutes in, it's beautiful in the stars. We hear something in the woods attacking, and I mean brutally attacking another animal. Maybe like 10 animals attacking another. It was terrifying. And all of a sudden the kids are like, I'm ready to go now. Like, can I go? Like, can we go to a bike? And then I realized we got 150 kids out here and no flashlights. And they're all terrified in the dark. And this one person who'd helped lead them down is like, everybody's got a flashlight. He turns it on. Everybody's like, ah, right? And everybody, and then we like all start following the light up the hill, right? There's still two kids missing. This was 11 years ago. Like, I don't know. But send your kids to camp in the summer. It's amazing. They'll love it. They'll love it. Here's the thing. Peace can be disrupted in an instant. Joy can be taken away in the snap of a finger. And the only thing in the moment of craziness and in like brutal attacks that can bring true joy, true peace, true hope, true love. The only thing, you know, the only thing that brought peace and comfort in that moment with those 150 kids was the one person with the light. That one light, it was like, everybody, follow that light. Because that's how we go to safety. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to be the light in the darkness. He was sent as the light. And the place that he was sent was experiencing political turmoil, economic turmoil. Mary and Joseph, what were they going through? Holy cow, a teenager with a baby that is not hers, you know, or not Joseph's, and he's like, oh, like, well, imagine that. And here they have the light among them. That's what he did. That's what he came to do. Later in John chapter 8, we read this. Jesus is now in his public ministry. He's speaking. He's now an adult and he's speaking to the crowd around him. And he spoke again to the people and he said this, I am the light of the world. Hold on, pause for just a second. They didn't have electric light. So when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, it wasn't like, oh, I'm a flashlight. Like, no, there was no such thing. I'm the light of the world. The only reference they had for that was the sun, the moon, the stars. This is a huge declaration. I'm the light of the world. And whoever follows me, by the way, you're never going to walk in darkness, but you will possess and have the light of life. And he was offering that to them. And by the way, he's still offering that to us. If you've never heard that, that's available to you. He's the light of the world. Whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will receive the light of life. So whatever you're going through, no matter how big or how scary, you've got a light to follow. The light came. Jesus, the light came so we would not be lost. That's why he came. He came to be the light so we knew where to go, who to follow. And as we travel with him, as we walk with him, as we grow closer to him, he brings hope where there is no hope. He brings joy where there is no joy. He brings peace when it has been destroyed. And he is love. That's what we spent the last 4 weeks talking about. So here's what we're going to do. We get to do something really cool together. We're going to sing a song first about that Oh Holy Night, when Jesus came to earth. Holy is a fancy word that means set apart. That night was different. There's not been a night like it since then. It is a holy night, holy, set apart. Oh, set apart night. Angels show up, shepherds freak out. Jesus born, wise men, not that night, but later show up. Like that night, that time was different. It is a holy night. We're going to sing about that. And we're going to remind ourselves what Christmas is about. And so kids, I'm asking you to hold on to the flashlight. Don't break your glow sticks yet. Don't twist your lights on yet. And parents, if they do, like, it's not a big deal. We'll be just fine. Like, it's happening. It's happening, y'all. It's right now. Okay, here's what I'm asking. Just hold off on the lights for just a second. Because there's going to be a moment after we sing, "Oh Holy Night," I'm going to come back and I'm going to walk us through that. Because we get to experience something super cool. We get to experience and just, we get to just set up and almost reenact what happened and how that goes. And our responsibility, our choice, our privilege that we have on this side of that first Christmas. So hang on to your lights for just a second. Why don't you go ahead and stand, because we are going to sing "Oh Holy Night" together. I'm going to pray for us. Go ahead and stand. And I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing "Oh Holy Night" together. God, I love you. Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for that first night that was set apart, that was different, that was holy, that was unique. Lord, thank you that you step into our darkness, no matter how dark it is, no matter what that season looks like, whether we did it to ourselves, whether someone did it to us, whether it's completely circumstantial, you step into the darkness. Lord, and I pray that we would reflect on that. I pray that we would receive that truth, even tonight as we sing this song, "Oh Holy Night." We give this to you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.